Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to dip into the amazing and wonderful world of coaching. We talk to coaches quite frequently on these broadcasts. Coaching has become such a major industry of folks who've done other things in their lives and then decided to get into coaching to help people in virtually all walks of their life. And I think it is so important, and it's been so beneficial for so many. It doesn't matter whether you're someone who needs help in your business career or your life, you know, your relationships, you name it, somewhere there is somebody out there who can help you. So I love talking to coaches. We always learn something from them. And that's what we're going to do today. Our guest is Marcia Butler. She is an executive coach, a business consultant, and she's the founder of the Butler Initiative. She's headquartered in Atlanta, where she specializes in helping leaders who are focused on their personal and their professional growth, leadership development, as well as organizational innovation and transformation to help align organizations with their business goals and their strategic priorities. As Marcia points out, organizations got very used to only caring about the bottom line with limited intention behind changing their culture. But the 21st century organization means more women, more people of color, and more intergenerational workers. And organizations have to prepare for this future now. I mean, they really do. Diversity, equity, inclusion impacts all of us at all levels, and there is a lot more work that has to be done. It's interesting, Marcia's story is interesting, because prior to launching the Butler Initiative, she was a transformational executive-level leader in a global consumer products company with a primary focus on corporate social responsibility, global marketing, social impact, and nonprofit engagement. She was a vice president. I mean, I'm going to let Marcia tell you this story of her. It's really pretty amazing. She was a vice president of global oral care for Colgate-Palmolive, one of the really big companies here in America. She led the organization's Bright Smiles, Bright Futures Global Health Initiative program, which forced partnerships to bring lasting change to health and hygiene practices to underdeveloped and vulnerable populations all around the world, and helping to improve the oral health of more than a billion children. I mean, you talk about responsibility. How about that? It was an amazing job. We're going to talk with her about that. And then why she got into coaching like this, because she helps people's – she helps leaders, not people's, leaders, who are looking to grow and transition in their lives. And her role as a coach is to help them become aware of who they are today and to help them to understand their emotional and social capacity for growth, change, and to reach their set goals in the future. You know, it's always interesting to talk to someone who's had a background like Marcia's, who now gets into the career of coaching and brings her background and her expertise into this field. Who would not like to have the idea and the thought of working with someone like Marcia, who has been through what she has been through with her kind of background, to help them? You know, you would be very, very lucky, I would think, to be able to consider Marcia a friend and a coach. So anyway, let's join her now on the line from her headquarters in the Atlanta area and talk to her. She has a great website. I'll give you that website address in just a couple of minutes. But anyway, Marcia Butler, welcome to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us. How are you today?
Good morning, Doug. Thank you for having me on the program. I'm doing well.
Good. You sound great. We had a little concern about our telephone connection, but you sound really great, Marcia. You know, when I read and talk a little bit about your background before you got into coaching, a lot of people might be wondering, well, golly, doing that kind of work and at that level in the corporate arena, why would you want to leave that to become a coach to help others, you know, wherever they might be and in companies large and small, all around the world for that matter? So it's a pretty simple question. What was it that attracted you to becoming an independent coach, which is what you are today? How about that?
Well, you know what? It's great that you talk about that, because I actually decided that I wanted to help and empower women and people of color, and I wanted to find a way in which I could do that. I also took a leader's course at Colgate before retiring. And at that time, I was coaching my team and mentoring others, both at the company and at nonprofit organizations. So as I was exploring, what did I want to do upon retiring? Like you said, I recognized that I enjoyed helping other women and people of color achieve what they wanted to do, their business goals, and help them see the results they were looking for. So a colleague and a friend of mine shared that he was enrolled in the Columbia University Executive Coaching Program. So I also enrolled. I successfully completed and obtained my executive coaching certification from Columbia and set out to really provide a coaching experience, a positive one for my clients, where I could, you know, align my coaching skills with my executive business experience. And also bring the insight that I took from my experience to understand the challenges and opportunities for business executives, but especially those who are like me. And as you mentioned, I'm focused on helping clients address, you know, what's going on in their organizations, promoting strategic growth and innovation and development. And then I also have a specific focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. So I've got a long, productive career. And for me, it was, how can I utilize, you know, those experiences and help women and people of color, going to hear me say that over and over, to embrace who they are, to help them elevate their voices and grow their confidence and, you know, help them strengthen their executive presence and leadership and their personal brand at the same time while they're looking to grow and transition in their careers. So I'm really excited about what I'm doing now, and I'm being able to leverage my experiences from my corporate work to apply it to coaching others.
Well, I think they are so lucky, those who might become, you know, your clients, so to speak, to have someone like you to work with, because you do have an extraordinary background, and I know your path has been obviously quite interesting, to say the least. The first question I want to ask you is, I mean, you went to school. You have a Doctor of Dental Surgery degree. On the surface, you would think you were studying to be a dentist. Is that what you really thought you were going to do in the beginning?
So it's interesting. You know, I've worked in corporate America for over 35 years. And prior to that, I was a practicing dentist in Michigan and in New Jersey. But what I realized is I wanted something more impactful with my career, with my dental career, and in my life. So I actually repositioned myself, leveraging my knowledge and my skill base, along with taking some marketing courses, to work in corporate America. And, you know, there were some hurdles to make that work, but I've had a really, really long, strong career in corporate America, and have leveraged my dental degree in many ways to make it special for me, and hopefully contributing to the organizations that I supported.
You know, that's really amazing. I was just thinking, if you're a dentist and you decide to go into the corporate arena because you wanted more, I guess, challenges of a different kind than you did as a dentist, what did you do to engineer your path? You ended up, obviously, in the right place. I mean, as a vice president of global oral care for Colgate-Palmolive. But did you set your sights on Colgate, for example, as a company that would be ideal for you with your background to be associated with? Or how did you make the break from being a dentist to get into the corporate arena?
Well, you know what? They talk about the importance of networking. And again, I took a look at what am I doing now and what would I like to do? What are my skills and my competencies that I can offer? And then who can I talk to? Who can, you know, support me in exploring what I can do? And I had some really, really good colleagues and friends who were supportive in helping me first go to my first company, which was Johnson & Johnson. And yes, it was, some on-job training as I got into the company and learned what I could. I always believe in being curious as you grow. And then being able, you know, over time to apply that learning to my next opportunity, which was at Colgate-Palmolive, with a specific opportunity to build a strategic framework to provide oral health to communities of color and other communities in the United States.
Well, it's a pretty remarkable path you've taken off the surface. Do you know many other dentists who've done what you have done, left the field of dentistry to go into the corporate world? It's kind of rare, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is not as rare as you think, but there are more dentists practicing than or in research or academia than necessarily in corporate America. But there are dentists who may have an MBA or an MPH who have gone into corporate America. And then there are many who have actually begun as researchers in the technology field, bringing their expertise often, you know, from microbiology to all kinds of different areas. To bring it to corporate America to support the development of quality products. And we had and still have at Colgate many dentists who are in our research and technology areas. So there's an opportunity to look beyond practice if that's what a dental professional is looking for into corporate America, academia, technology, you know, really opening up the window of opportunity to say, how else can I use my knowledge? What else can I do with my knowledge to support what I want to do in my career?
Well, with your background, obviously you were landed in the right spot. I must ask you, as a woman of color who entered into the corporate arena, did you find it particularly challenging for you to reach obviously the point where you did, where you were a vice president of global oral care at Colgate-Palmolive? And I know that's what you're really setting out to help women of color, in the corporate arena. What about your path? How was it?
Well, you know what? As I mentioned, you know, coming out of dental practice, going into my first corporate experience where I was hired to promote preventive brands of dentistry and educate the dental profession on these brands. And this was like 35 years ago, where diversity, equity, and inclusion was just about the number of diverse employees, including women, that companies were hiring. I was the only woman and the only African-American woman on the marketing team for my first years at this company. And like I said, it was on-job training in many ways, although the subject matter was about oral health, which made me somewhat of an expert. And my reception, you know, from this all-male team was cordial, but it was clear from the beginning that it was not inclusive. There were sidebar meetings, golf outings, and other you know, meetings that I was not invited to join. My point of view was heard, but not respected enough to include my suggestion in the pot of ideas that moved forward. So I was challenged at every milestone, although I felt like I was one of the experts in the room. And the good news is a couple of years later, there were two additional African-American women hired on the team. This helped in terms of forming an alliance to help gain a voice that could be heard from the three of us. And I would say it was my fortune that I was laid off from this company along with 200 other employees as the parent company divested this dental products group. But I learned a lot from my first experience in corporate America. As I explored other opportunities, I learned what I needed to do to be successful in my next corporate role, whether it was insight about the importance of diversity and inclusion. I recognized how important it was to have sponsors and senior leadership support me in a unique role that I was in. And I also understood it was that to be effective at the organization, which I took to the next organization, is that I needed to be hired at a higher level of responsibility in lieu of my specialty degree to really help me achieve the goals that, you know, I set out for me, but also for the team and the organization. So, you know, I think that from my first experience in corporate America, I was able to take a lot of key learnings and apply it to my next experience, which was even better because after I was laid off, and again, this is back in 1990, 3 months later, I was hired by Colgate as a dentist, as an African-American woman to set up a health strategy to bring oral health care to minority populations in the United States. And this was their flagship corporate social responsibility initiative. My challenges there were less because I was supported highly in this new position by my CEO and other senior executives. If there was a challenge, it was convincing those at mid-level and lower positions that this initiative would support their business goals. I had to really gain the respect and trust of the larger marketing team, who were mainly men, again, almost 30 years ago, and it did not help that I was a non-marketer. But as I started on this journey, I was highly aware that I was an African-American woman in a more senior position working on a health initiative designed to help and nurture communities of color. And this was generally accepted, but in the early years of the initiative, 30 years ago, it was not wholly embraced by the organization. So as I grew in my role to become VP Global Oral Care, I gained experience in becoming a collaborative leader. And in doing so, I recognized the need to work together with other leaders and managers across divisions and departments, really to gain insight, different opinions and perspectives and ideas, being understanding of regional values because we were working globally, and being transparent about the decisions needed to create a lasting impact globally to sustain this initiative. So bottom line, I really, as a collaborative leader, and that's what I consider myself, I was able to gain the trust and respect and engagement of our teams around the world to actually help implement, help get this thing done, and to reach over 1.3 billion children and families in over 80 diverse countries around the world. And it was a 30-year journey to get to that point, trying to take what I could learn being curious and being receptive and open. All of that took place in order for me and the teams that I worked with and the company to reach that success and that impact that we were striving to do, you know, 25 years later.
What a story you tell. Boy, what background you bring to the world of coaching of other executives and people, you know, on the way up. I want to point out you are obviously an executive coach. You have a great website called the Butler Initiative, LLC.com. Obviously, your name is Marcia Butler, and this is the Butler Initiative, LLC.com. If you go to that website, you'll learn more about Marcia's story, how to get in touch with her, if you're interested in seeking her help. Let's talk a little bit about how you help people today in your role as an executive coach. Who comes to see you? I can imagine, you tell me. Who are the typical kinds of clients that come seek your assistance?
Well, you know what? I have a diverse group of clients. However, I will say mainly women and often people of color who are interested in really growing in their careers, or they're in one area of their organization and they're trying to transition to another, or they're been placed in a new role. And they're trying to adapt and grow within that role, and that often takes time. And I've also had women who've been responsible for diversity, equity, and inclusion in their organizations. And that's a challenging, daunting role because it's not easy to actually change behaviors, ingrained behaviors, and the cultural environment of organizations as you're trying to place strategy for DE&I and to, you know, increase the talent pool and increase the retention. I mean, there are a lot of targets and goals that these strategists are trying to do, and I've enjoyed working with them to help them be and do the best that they can, and also to support their organizations who are trying to include diversity, equity, and inclusion in their business strategy.
Yeah, that's a term, DEI, that you use. It's become, you know, quite understandable. You know, a very simple question is, why does an organization need it, and how can they stand to benefit by it?
So, you know, there are a lot of different definitions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, of course, the one that we're most familiar with, you know, has to do with representation and participation of different groups of individuals. And I think most people know, whether it's age, race, ethnicity, ability, disability, gender, religion, culture, or sexual orientation, all of that comes into play. But what's also important, especially as you look at organizations today, in addition to the traditional definition of diversity, it's also defined as a mix of experiences, identities, ideas, and opinions that all need to come into play when creating an inclusive workforce. And it is said that, you know, as a result of diverse and inclusive workforces, you can earn deeper trust and more commitment from your employees. You know, diversity is not just a business issue, although today that's important because that's the underlying reason that many organizations are moving toward DE&I. But it is also one in which where you have both a diverse and an inclusive organization that's committed to change and continuous improvement, and you're making it a business imperative, you're creating a foundation for business success. In fact, McKinsey shows that companies with gender, ethnic, and culture diversity on their executive teams, when the senior leadership teams are all those things, that they, in fact, outperform their peer companies on profitability. And today, about 83% of organizations are acting on D&I in 2021, and this is per the AIR Consulting Group. Too many of those organizations, though, do not see the results that they're looking for. And what I am really very, very interested in is that we should have coaching along with traditional DE&I strategies that can play an important role in changing culture. A coach can help with supporting organizational mindset and identifying blind spots and unconscious bias, while at the same time challenging leaders to go beyond lip service, you know, just saying I'm doing this, but really creating a culture that supports and honors and values individual difference. And I also talk about inclusion coaching and really being able to work with C-suite executives and organizational leaders that recognize that sometimes they have deep and ingrained assumptions that impact the culture of the organization. And it gives these leaders time to really devise a clear and unified approach to culture of inclusion. And it also allows the coach to provide a safe and confidential space to sort through what may be their own transformation, that leader's own transformation, and allow them to successfully lead their organization. So coaching is an important part of the strategy.
Let me ask you an important question here. We talk to a lot of executive coaches, but rarely one with the background that you bring to the field. I mean, it's extraordinary. And I just let me ask you to explain, from your perspective, what do you think you bring to your role as a coach with your background in order to help other people that other typical coaches might not be able to provide? How would you answer that?
Well, I think what I am bringing to the coaching field is really my own experience as a woman executive, as an African-American executive who has really dealt with challenges along the way. I also bring an understanding of transition, transitioning from if I go back a long way, I actually was one of the first African Americans in my hometown to integrate my school. So I learned how to work with people of different backgrounds at a very early age, and then transitioned from, you know, being a dentist to an executive, and from an executive to being an executive coach. So I bring that long experience. As well as I like to set up a place for my clients where they feel comfortable that they can clarify, you know, what it is that they need in their lives, in their careers, in order to really reach their maximum potential.
I could go on and on, Doug, but I recognize
the time.
Marcia, we have run out of time with this half hour. I want to point, you're coming back again. You have the date that you're going to join us again. What is it off the top of your head?
Yes, I will be back on May 3rd.
May 3rd. All right, everybody. Marcia Butler is our guest. She's the head of the Butler Initiative. Her website, again, is the Butler Initiative LLC, the Butler Initiative LLC. She's based in Atlanta. Obviously a fascinating guest. I wish we had more time today, but you'll be back again soon. So for everybody listening, be sure and join us for that second broadcast. Marcia, thank you, ma'am. This has been absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, Doug. Have a great day.
You are so welcome. And that'll do it for this broadcast, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. It's been amazing.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Boy, do we ever. I'm Doug Llewellyn. I'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, take care of yourself. Be safe. Bye-bye.